Welcome to Blessed Hope Bible Presbyterian Church. Let us prepare our hearts to worship the Lord by singing, "The Lord is in His holy temple." Taken from Psalm 23, verses 1 to 4. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let us arise for the opening hymn, number 344. The Lord is my shepherd.
Comfort still my tears.
heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy goodness and mercy, which thou extends to us all our lives. We thank thee that thou art our shepherd, one who leads and guides us when we go astray, one who feeds and provides for our every need. We thank thee that even in the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil, for thou art with us, and thy rod and staff comfort us. It is because of thy faithfulness and loving kindness in shepherding us that we may gather once again in thy house to worship thee. We are not the shepherds of our own lives, only thou art. And we thank thee that thou hast given us yet another week where we can come as thy flock, as the members of Christ, to commune and fellowship with one another. We pray now that thou wilt lead us to green pastures and still waters. As we read from thy word, wilt thou cause our minds to understand, our wills to be conformed, and our affections to be moved by thy word. Bless thy truth to our hearts, and grant us voices to respond with grateful thanks for thy goodness unto us. Do all these in us for thine own honor and glory. This we ask and pray with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ, who while he was on earth taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Scripture text for today is taken from Exodus chapter 33. Let us turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 33, and we shall be looking from verses 12 to 17. Shall be reading responsively. I shall begin with the even verses. Please respond with the odd. And Moses said unto the Lord, See thou, sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Thank God for the wonderful reading of his holy word. Let us now respond by singing another hymn, number 348, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. The memory verse taken from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let us read this verse together. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let us meditate upon this wonderful verse where we have the glorious promise of God that he will never leave nor forsake us. Shall we try together? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Thank God for this wonderful and comforting verse. Let us now prepare our tithe and offering. The offertory hymn is number 328, How Firm a Foundation. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise Him above the heavenly host.
Father in heaven, we thank thee for the wonderful promise from thy word, which we have just memorized and sung. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We thank thee that because thou art our Father, that thou stayest true to thy word. And we may have strong confidence, trusting in every promise that thou hast stated in thy word. Thou hast said, "Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand." And thou hast also said that when we go through the deep waters, the rivers of woe shall not overflow us. For thou wilt be with us, our troubles to bless, and sanctify to us our deepest distress. We cling, O Lord, O Father, to these words from thy word. For there is no surer hope found than in thee. Earthly friends often leave us, our own strength often fails us, but thou art the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And what thou hast promised, thou wilt surely fulfill. So we joyfully give this tithe unto thee, knowing thou wilt surely use it to magnify thy name and aid thy saints. We also plead that thou wilt grant pastor thy grace to preach thy word unto us. May the Spirit accompany thy truth, and may we, through it, learn how we ought to intercede with thee in prayer. Do all these, O Lord, for thy own honor and glory. This we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. The hymn before the pastoral prayer and the message, "This Nation is Thy People," is number 432. 432. How good is the God we adore. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts as Pastor will lead us in the pastoral prayer and deliver to us the message, "This nation is thy people."
Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thy church may be gathered together in Thy house to worship Thee. On this day that Thou hast appointed, that Thy church may keep and observe, for indeed, this is the day that Thou hast made for our rest, for our worship, for our strengthening. We praise Thee that we can be found in Thy house to worship Thee. Indeed, it is our greatest privilege that we would experience in every worship a foretaste of heaven. So that, Lord, Thou may prepare Thy people. Help us to understand that we are a heavenly people, that we would be one day transformed, transported, and to be in Thy very presence in the heavenly realm. O God, help us to see our eternal state and help us to understand while we are here on earth that we would understand the true meaning of life, of eternal life that Thou hast given us, so that our time may not be wasted, that we would truly learn how to commune with Thee, how to walk with Thee, how to be with Thee. For this is what Thou hast made us to be. Father, we thank Thee for Thy provision of the worship center, for our sunrise service. We thank Thee for the safe return of Kichun and the family from Bali. We thank Thee for the safe return of our brother Christopher and the family from Japan. And we thank Thee for the protection of our brother Stephen after the fall. Thank Thee for healing him of the infection and strengthening him. Father, we pray and that Thou wouldst be with him as he recuperates in the hospital. Be with dear sister Catherine, that Thou wouldst comfort and strengthen her as she takes care of Stephen. Father, we thank Thee for the safe arrival of Daniel Gorsuch in the UK. Thank Thee for bringing him safely home. May Thou strengthen him as he prepares to begin tertiary studies in the UK. Father, we pray and commit to Thee those who are not well in the body. We pray for good recovery that Thou would grant to Mrs. Chan after her cataract operation on the 28th of February. We commit to Thee, Sister Lily, Maji's mother, that Thou would be gracious to strengthen her physically and spiritually. Thank Thee for granting to the family the helper take care of Sister Lily. Father, we pray, ask that thou would keep Sister Marie in a kidney dialysis treatment and also good management of her high blood pressure condition. Father, we pray for our loved ones who are still outside thy kingdom. Thou knowest each one of them, and we commit them lovingly into thy hand and ask for thy mercy to save them. Father, we pray for those who are unable to be with us for worship. We ask that thou wouldst be gracious to strengthen them. And we pray, thank thee for those who join us for worship through the internet. We pray for Mr. and Mrs. Lee Kim Song, for Madam Lim Chor King, for Sister Kwek Sui Lee, Siu Lee, strengthen each one of them. Be with Madam Lim also as she joins us through in worship from home. Father, we thank thee for the safe keeping and strengthening of Mr. and Mrs. Boon. Lord, may thou be gracious to keep them. Thank thee for their presence in worship with us. Lord, we praise and thank thee for the health and the strength that thou hast given to them. We pray for Sister Lillian. Thank thee for healing her of her stomach condition. Thank thee for bringing her for worship. Father, we pray and commit to thee those who are in NS training. Father, pray for Enle, pray for Jing Hen, pray for Ethan, pray for Josh, that thou be with them to protect them, and thy grace may be with them in their NS training. Father, we pray for strength and courage for thy people and those in Ukraine and Russia as they await upon thee for their deliverance from their military conflict. We pray also for thy protection and safety for Grace throughout her pregnancy. And we pray for thy help for Nikesh in his tertiary studies, especially for his assignments and the coming exams. May thou strengthen him. Father, we pray for thy mercy upon the land of Syria and Turkey in their recent earthquake, that thy comfort and strength may be upon them to trust thee in the midst of grave affliction. Father in heaven, we pray for the authorities in Singapore to govern with just and equitable measures, that the gospel work may continue. We pray for thy protection for Singapore from terrorism, from haze, from pestilences, the soon coming day of the Lord, when as in heaven, so in earth, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Lord, help us to see and understand the coming day of glory that thou hast for thy children, the greatness indeed of thy coming kingdom. Help us to prepare for it. Father, we pray and ask that thou would grant smooth proceeding for our upcoming annual congregational meeting on the 26th of March. We pray for thy blessing for the Good Friday service on the 7th of April and the sunrise service on the 9th of April. We pray for thy guidance in our planning for Church Camp 2023 from the 14th to the 17th of June. Father, bless now the preaching of thy holy word. Strengthen us, help us to know thy good will. As we commit our lives into thy loving hand, may thou be gracious to guide us. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This nation is thy people, is the title of our message, taken from Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 to 17. We thank the Lord for giving us his grace to study his word, plowing through chapter by chapter in this 40-chapter book of the Exodus. And our message is entitled, This Nation is Thy People. taken from verses 12 to 17 of Exodus chapter 33. It was David Levi from friends of Israel who said, "True, all people belong to the Father by creation, but believers belong to Him by divine election." Ephesians 1 verse 4. "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." God chose us before the foundation of the world so that we have been earmarked to be His special people upon earth. Can we then say that we don't know Him? But we pray that God would show us His grace, open the spiritual eyes of all who are seeking, that they may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For indeed, God has chosen, and therefore we have that opportunity to come to receive that grace. John 6, verses 37 to 39. Our Lord Jesus tells us that all whom God has saved, not one will be lost. He will take care of us with utmost power. Jesus says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." If you come to Jesus Christ because you have all your burdens which you cannot resolve, you cannot solve, He will not reject you. He will not cast you out. But rather He will receive you. Jesus says, "I came from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him that sent me. This is the Father's will which He has sent me, that of all which He has given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day." All that the Father gave me. No sickness. No deteriorating of the mind can cause us to be estranged with our Father in heaven who has saved us. How wonderful a thought, isn't it? A promise that God gives to us that we must take hold of in a world in which if we do not have the promises and the assurance of God's word, we go about living very edgy life, isn't it? Very edgy, full of uncertainty. But with the promises of God's word, our life can be lived with fullness of confidence. We are kept and cared for by Him eternally. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." This is our privilege as God's people. We have the indwelling presence of Christ, the Holy Spirit, our comforter, to be with us, to strengthen us. And we have our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, interceding at the right hand of the Father in heaven, that we may arrive safely in heaven. So, dear friends, are you in some kind of a distress because somehow life on earth seems to not come together well as we may see it? Well, we must take hold of Christ. When we lay hold upon Christ, then our soul would delight itself in fatness. When we have Christ, when our poor heart would lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Comforter, the divine Holy Spirit, will come into our hearts. And first there's a quickening that makes us alive. And then there is a gladness that God puts in our heart. And it is that life that He bestowed upon us that gives us light, that shows us the way to life. So when the Spirit of God comes, living unto God is the experience of the people of God. And then afterwards will come joy in God by the Holy Ghost. This is the promise that God gives to us, that the people of God may truly understand and live that joyful life that God has given to us. The journey of Israel to the Holy Land, or to the Promised Land, has reached a crisis point. A crisis point. Though God has promised to make them a nation, they have showed themselves unworthy to be His people, because they have gone a whoring in open idolatry, worshipping the golden calf. Exodus chapter 32. And God separated Himself from His people when Moses disengaged himself from His unrepentant people by pitching his tent far away from the camp. This was where we left off last Lord's Day, in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 33. Moses took the tabernacle, verse 7 says, and pitched it without, or outside the camp, afar off from the camp. And he called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out of the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Because God is holy, He cannot dwell in uncleanness, amongst an unclean people. So God instructed Moses to separate himself, take the tent in which he would meet with the people, and pitch it far away from the from the congregation of his people, so that only those who would repent, those who truly seek the Lord, they would come out of the camp to the tabernacle of the congregation. Those who would understand the evil in their own heart, and those who would mourn for their sins. And how did Israel demonstrate their repentance? Well, it was when God told them to put away the ornaments that they were using to make the golden calf. Exodus 33 and verse 4. And so by the time we reach verse 9 of our text, we see that Moses has already pitched his tent outside, and the glory of God descended upon the tabernacle. And we want to say this, that the tabernacle has not been built yet. They were at the bottom of Mount Sinai, but they have already gone astray from the Lord. But is God's plan thwarted? God's plan has not been thwarted, although His people may have gone astray. There is a way back with God. The people mourned for their sins and showed forth fruit meet for repentance. When they humbled themselves, put away their ornaments, came out of the camp, it was evidence of genuine contrition. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy." If we realize that we have gone astray and we come back to Him, who we would confess our sins. 1 John 1:9. When we would confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Their actions were far from their position as God's people. Their actions were far from befitting their position as saints, as sanctified ones. What is the way forward for Israel now that they have blatantly sinned against God? God has said He will not go with them, but will send an angel to go with them. God's presence has departed from them because of their uncleanness. Exodus 33, verse 1 to 3. The Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up hence, thou and thy people, which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear to thee. And I will send an angel before thee. I will not go with thee to this land that I've promised to thee, a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee." Why? Because the Lord said, "Thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." A stiff-necked people, very stubborn, unrepentant. The heart hardened so hard. And it was a situation where Israel's continued existence has become very precarious. And we saw how Moses interceded. And now this is what he did. He interceded that God may accede to go with them. Three thoughts. Interceding according to God's will, verse 12. Interceding for God's grace, verse 13 to 16. And imprimatur of God's assent or approval, verse 17. Interceding according to God's will. God says that I will not go with this people anymore because they are a stiff-necked people. What to do? Well, Moses pleaded with the Lord. And how did he plead with the Lord? He pleaded with the Lord according to His will. Moses said to the Lord, "See," verse 12, "thou sayest to me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in mine sight." So he said to the Lord, "You have instructed me to bring them out of Egypt.
And you have instructed me to bring them forth from the wilderness to the promised land. But you have not instructed me who will go with me. How will we succeed without you being with us? And thou hast said to me that I found grace in thy sight. In other words, you would hear my plea, my prayer. Then, Lord, please hear my prayer at this time for thy people. As you think carefully, Moses was 80 years old at that time. He was not a young man. He has forsaken the luxury of Egypt, and he has spent 40 years in the wilderness. He has embraced the cause of God to form a witness for himself in the formation of the nation of Israel. After his encounter with God at the burning bush, it was God's will that Israel will become a nation. And Moses understood it because of what God said to him at the burning bush. So all this comes back to his mind. All this was brought before the Lord. And he has seen the waywardness of the people seeking to build and worship the golden calf, this pseudo form of Jehovah worship, standing alone. He saw the horror of the sinful acts of the people of God when they were rising and eating and pray and playing. And God has already told him that he will destroy this people and make a new nation. You know, when we go and share the gospel, you realize that we are most inadequate, because unless God would open the eyes of the people whom we will meet and we will share, we are quite useless, isn't it? Our work will be very futile. Unless the Spirit of God will go with us, unless the Spirit of God will bless us, we will find no fruit. And that is why Moses understood that if God will not go with them, then what will their life be? If God will not be their God to protect them, to show them the way, then what would life be without him? And he knew that these people were a part of him. Moses saw, and it weighed heavily upon his heart, his own family members, his brother Aaron, the leader of the rebellion. It must have been most discouraging. But what distinguished Moses to enable him to hang on there and pray for the people of God? Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? When you look at the things that are going on, how, as our Lord Jesus Christ himself experienced, right, all the disciples whom he has trained spent 3.5 years with him. In that moment of testing, they all left him. They all left him. He was alone going to the cross. Why did he go to the cross? It was for their sake. It was for their sake. But they have deserted him. He had not deserted them. That was the heart of Moses at that time. A picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And one late pastor observed well, he says, there are a lot of athletes with natural ability. But what is it that turns a mediocre athlete into a gold medal champion? One crucial element is that the gold medal athlete is willing to suffer hurt well more than the others. When you can take another step, when your muscles are sore, your bodies are aching. This is what it means to run the race with perseverance. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's easy to look around us and then say, it's a hopeless case, a hopeless situation. It was the same for the prophet Isaiah during the time when Judah and the northern kingdom, well, they were on the brink of being invaded. God is going to deal with them through the invasion. But you see that there was a message that the Lord has for his people. And that message is not just for that group that was there at that time. It was for us too, here at this time. One crucial element is that the gold medal athlete was able to bear up under greater pressure. You are running to build endurance. Indeed, building a faith that will go the distance would take patience. Moses had to press through the injustices of life. Instead of feeling unfairly treated, it is time for him to put his eye upon the one who was treated most unfairly on the cross, so that we would be forgiven. This is the Christian race, dear friends. We are to run so that we may have the victory. The sin that so easily beset us, the bitterness, the hurt that we have experienced, how can we overcome? Well, Moses had to overcome, isn't it? Imagine 80 years of his life, and there at that crucial point when they would have entered the promised land, there was this great crisis moment. The journey to the promised land had hardly begun, and there were so many setbacks. Now, God says that he will not go with the people, but will send an angel. What does it mean? Well, what it means is what it says. He will send an angel. In other words, the Lord will not go with His people, but He will send a mediocre replacement. So Moses says, does it speak well of your cause that this nation is to be a champion for you before all the nations of the world, and you will not be in the midst of them? And so Moses highlighted to the Lord that the cause is His. It is the will of God, you see. Dear friends, if we are walking in the will of God, if I understood what is the will of God, and we plead according to what He wills, surely He would answer, isn't it? And this was what Moses did. He said, if I found grace in thy sight, and that I know thee by name, and you have called me to this work, and now surely you must go with us. If you will not go with us, how can we succeed? Our Lord Jesus promised us, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The promise of God. And when the people of God has strayed, well, it is time to bring them back, isn't it? Why is Moses now asking God, whom he was sent to go with them? Why was Moses able to make such a request to God? Because the sins of the people have been repented of. You recall verse 7, which we have seen. Everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. In other words, sin had been dealt with, but because of Israel's sin, Moses had to plead with God for their forgiveness and ask God for a way forward with them. He dare not demand, but he takes the place of a supplicant. Lord, if you would agree, if you would agree. They have repented. I have set the camp outside, and the people have come. You recall, it was God who called Moses to the work. Exodus 3, verses 7 to 8. Turn with me there as we look back a little bit. And now we are at 30 chapters ahead. But it was in the beginning when the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come to deliver them out of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites. This was God's will, you see. God said He will do this, and Moses understood. So he pleaded according to God's will. For God, having pledged Himself to this, His word must be fulfilled, His purpose accomplished, no matter what will be. Isn't it? What was happening in the camp? Moses said to the Lord. Thus we see how Moses, with boldness of faith, pleaded. He pleaded with God, on the ground of God's covenant, His everlasting covenant with Christ, that He would now exercise mercy to His unworthy people. This is how we plead for the mercy of God. For the people are undeserving, and yet they have repented. And so He pleaded that they may be restored. So that's the first thought. Interceding according to God's will, verse 5. And for verse 13 to 16, interceding for God's grace. Now, verse 13 says, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. So he repeated again the phrase, thou hast also found grace in my sight. If I found grace in thy sight, that I may find grace in thy sight, that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Apart from the unmerited favor of God for His people, there is no help for them. It is a fact that we can bring nothing to gain God's favor. Why should He receive us? We are unworthy. And yet He saved us. We are unworthy. Yet He saved us. And that made us all the more grateful, isn't it? That we have been saved, though we are undeserving. So that the people of God would realize that having strayed away, God didn't cast them aside. But the grace of God sustained them, enabled them to come back. If not for the grace of God, we likewise would have perished. So he asked God to direct him. He asked God to guide him. Because he says, this nation belongs to you. They bear your name. They are your people. So Moses sought for God's presence to go with them. But the question here is, how can God's presence go with this people after they have rejected Him? It's not that the Lord had rejected them, you know. They have rejected the Lord. They went their own way. They won their own fun. They have rejected Him. They have deserted Him. So here, the Lord was emphasizing the enormity of Israel's sin and how far they have strayed from the Lord. And that He is indeed a holy God. And because of their uncleanness, He cannot dwell in the midst of them. So that was the dilemma there. That was the dilemma. Nevertheless, Moses sought, like the importunate widow, that God would make a way for this embryonic nation, that the nation would not perish, that the burdens of life, isn't it, that comes to us can oftentimes be so great. The challenges that comes to us at every point in a believer's life can be so threatening. Then we ask ourselves, can God help me this time? Is God's power sufficient? Because the problem is a mountain of a huge problem. It's a great one. Well, that was an impasse for Israel. They have rejected the Lord, but they are His people. What to do? Well, Moses pleaded for the grace of God. The parable of our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that lesson of prayer. Never to give up on the Lord. Jesus says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, in that parable from verse 1 to 8, Jesus says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is the believer's power with God. And persistence in prayer is not the natural habit of the believer. And Jesus uses this parable to teach this lesson. This parable encourages us never to stop praying even in the toughest of circumstances. Our faith cannot be seen, but our prayer life can be seen. It is evidence of true faith. It gives hope to the children of God who are going through any trouble. Call upon Him and He will help us. He's always fair. He's always just. And on our part, we must make sure that we are on the Lord's side. Israel had put away sin outside the camp. So can the favor of God not return? Can the favor of God not return? The tent is already outside. God is not in the midst of the people. And those who have repented have gone out to make right. Is that enough? Well, the literal translation of Luke 18 verse 1 is, it is necessary always to pray and not to faint. The word ought is used to carry the sense of necessity, of duty, or command. Pray always. And prayer is always to God. The disciples are to pray under all types of necessity. And the key word is the adverb always. Always. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. It connotes time. It means at all times. It speaks of constancy in prayer, a consistent prayer life. And to faint is to lose heart, to let despondency take over, to become discouraged, to give up, to grow weary, to despair, to be demoralized, to lose one's motivation, to stop praying. It is necessary to pray in all circumstances. What is the will of God that is ticking in your life at this moment? What is confronting your life? Well, it is necessary to pray in all circumstances, especially in the afflictions and the hardships of life. Moses did not lose heart, but pleaded in that critical point in faith, seeking for God's presence to go with them. He obtained an assurance of God's favor. He said, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. They are not any other people. Did not the Lord Jesus says that all whom He has given me, not one will be lost? What one will be lost?
Moses understood the value of God's presence with them. If God will not go with them, they realize that there is no way forward, isn't it? And Moses submitted himself wholly to God, that if God will not show favor to go with them, then what is the purpose of their going? He highlighted how God's presence will signify that He is their God and they are His people. It's the test of their relationship. So Moses pleaded that God must go with them. And he said, verse 14, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." What an assurance that God gives to us, isn't it? "My presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest." The Lord gave assurance to Moses. And it was a critical verse, isn't it? That if God will not tarry with us, we will not prevail. If you go to the basement one of this building, you take the lift down, basement one, you come out of the lift, you would see this verse there. "My presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest." If God will not go with us, we will find no rest. And we must plead that God will go with us. Otherwise, we cannot move, isn't it? So every morning, did you plead with the Lord that, "Lord, you have to go with me this day. You have to be with me. I have great responsibility and challenges each day that you bring before me. How can I discharge it unless thou wouldst be with me? Unless thou wouldst grant me the wisdom that I would not make a grave mistake, that I would not do wrong, that I cannot retract from." How grave, isn't it, that we need the Lord to be with us? Unless He is with us. This was the critical point in Israel's history. They were still at Mount Sinai. The tabernacle has not been built, but they have already gone wayward, gone astray. So the plan of God is at His worst stalled, isn't it? Cannot move. God has made a people, but the people has deserted Him. No people. How to make a nation? Right? You have a God who is supposed to be their God, but they don't want Him. They build the golden calf and they worship the golden calf. So God's plan is, in that sense, cannot move ahead, isn't it? Of course, the Lord said, "I will make of thee a new nation." In other words, obliterate all of them. And I will give you new ones. I will raise up new ones. With my power, with my wisdom, I can do that. But for Moses, he realized that he has sunk himself with the people of God. And he understood what they are made up of. Jesus understood. None of his disciples were with him. The bravest of them all, Peter, said, "I will go with you even unto death." Denied the Lord 3 times at that moment of testing.
So, if you are God, and all your followers have disappeared from you, and you are on this task to save them, would you carry on? Do they deserve to be saved? Did not they say to the Lord, to the priest, to the high priest, stone him, crucify him, crucify him, isn't it? He could have said, no, Lord, I will not go. But he did not. Because he's in obedience to the Father's will that this will be the people of God. And he has to save them. So Moses submitted himself wholly to God. That if God will not show favor to go with them, then there's no point in going, isn't it? So he pleaded that the Lord would be with them. If the blood of Christ cannot wash away our sins, we cannot approach God. But Christ's blood indeed is able to cleanse us of all our sins and make it possible that sins be forgiven and that we may find favor with God again. But we must confess our sins and make right with Him. We must confess our sins and make right with Him. Interceding for God's grace. Interceding according to God's will. Interceding for God's grace. An imprimatur of God's assent or approval. Verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thee by name. So Moses pleaded with the Lord. Verse 15. If thy presence will not go with me, let us not carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people. For from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. What is the distinguishing mark of God's people? That God is with us, isn't it? That the Spirit of God is with us. The wisdom of God comes to us through the Spirit of God. It distinguishes us from the people of the world. God promised His presence to go with them and affirm His favor to accept Moses' prayer on behalf of Israel. Christ is that greater Moses. He is our great high priest at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding continually for us that we might find grace in God's sight. Sometimes our situation can look very desperate when Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress was in the fireplace. He saw the fire was almost extinguished because Satan was right there throwing water on the fire. But somehow, as he looked carefully, he saw that the fire was not extinguished. So he asked this question, how come Satan was casting all the water and yet it was not extinguished? Well, he was made to go to the back of the fireplace. And there, at the back of the fireplace, there was a man pouring oil to ensure that the fire will not be extinguished. And he's hidden, it said. Cannot see, as it were, hidden from you. Well, this is the grace of God. It was explained. It was explained to Christian. You can't see it. The enemy seems so powerful, and he seemed to have the upper hand, and the cause seems lost already. Isn't it so true? When our Lord was crucified upon the cross, the religious leaders of Israel were clapping away, and the disciples deserted him. But there upon the cross, Satan was defeated. There on the cross, the head of the serpent was bruised. That was God's way by which evil was defeated. And God showed to Moses that indeed he will not give up on his people. When we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, we find favor with God through Jesus Christ. And our Lord said in the parable in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verses 7 to 8, as we close, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth?" Will the believer exercise faith to continually come to him in prayer, even amidst great persecution, unbelief, apostasy, in times nearing the Lord's second coming? Dear friends, this is the crux of the matter. We are nearing the Lord's coming again. And the battle is very keen. And the people of God must see that the enemy of God is using all means to cool your fervent spirit for worship. But the believer who would exercise faith in God, he will obtain the promise of God. We need to take hold of these promises. Isaiah says, "Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee." As we sang in our hymn, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Isaiah 41 verse 10. And Isaiah 43 verse 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And our verse from the call to worship, Psalm 23 verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And finally, our memory verse in Hebrews 13 verse 5. The Lord says to you, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." but be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do not lean on your own wisdom to get to go what you think you need in this life. It will fail you. But the Lord says, be content with such things as the Lord would endow you. What the Lord has endowed you? He has endowed you with His Spirit. And He has endowed you with His Word. And He has endowed you with the assembly of His people. And if we will not serve Him, if we will not follow Him, then how will the witness of God be perpetuated? There will be no witness, isn't it? But the witness of God must prevail. So the Lord says to us, let our conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In other words, he has put you where you are for his holy purpose, for his glory, and that he seeks that you would obey and follow him and walk with him. He will not deny himself. He will make all things well as we trust him. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for thy mercy, that thou indeed bless the prayers of thy people. That there is indeed cause for intercession, that we may pray for the causes, the souls around us, that indeed thou wouldst be faithful to do and accomplish thy holy will as we rest upon thee and obey thee and follow thee. Strengthen us. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please arise for the closing hymn, 371, Sweet Hour of Prayer. 371, Sweet Hour of Prayer. 371.
Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at thy Father's throne. They make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe His word and trust His grace. I'll cast on Him my every care and wait for Thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I Thy consolation share. Till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace, and give you peace. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be gracious, the Lord be gracious, gracious unto you. Amen.
The service is now over.